following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Hey, where y'all at?
It is a thrill. I love this show.
You're telling me a big fat lie.
I was hoping for funny, crazy.
I will get on stage on Broadway and I will reenact the rantings of Charlie Sheen one day.
Think you can replace me with some other guy? Go ahead. It won't be the same.
'Tis mightiest in the mightiest.
Do not bring Shakespeare into this.
You're so smart.
Oh, really? Well, so are you.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room.
I know exactly who that is. That's the mother that loses every game. That's Kirk Cousins. Get rid of him.
Wow.
Bros, come on. I love you, bros.
Does everybody have to be crazy today?
Now get me Xavier!
And Nick Jensen is down on his back and the Caps are racing after Asimov to get in his face.
Yeah, they've got to come to his aid there on the ice there. Serbis on the ice. Jason Serbis making sure Nick Jensen's okay. He was not moving after he got hit into the board by Asimont. And team's not very happy. Caps not very happy with their winger, number 23, Asimont.
It's a 5-on-4. Cross ice. Step shot. Score! John Carlson is the highest goal-scoring defenseman in Capitals history. Turnover. Pacioretty fans on it. Rolling it weakly towards Vasilevsky, who paddled it to the corner. At point position, Alexiev finds Van Riemsdyk. Drive, knocked down in front. Rebound, score! Nick Dowd!
Unheard of a few hours on Saturday as the playoff scenario changed like two, maybe three times. I think at one point, all of the teams in contention were actually technically in that second wild card spot. Welcome to the show, everybody. Bailey Johnson from the Washington Post is going to be here in a few minutes. She's going to help us dissect all of this. Quick little inside baseball note, though. We spoke to Bailey right before or right after the games on Thursday. We spoke to her on Friday. It was before the Caps came back and won the game against Tampa. So here's the way things stand now, and from what I can figure out, and God knows this may change before you actually listen to this show, but here are the way things stand. So going into the final two games of the year, which will start on Monday, the Caps right now are in the second wild card spot. If they win out, they are the second wild card team, no matter what Detroit, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh do. The Penguins, the Flyers, the Red Wings are all behind Washington. Detroit and Philly each have 87 points. Pittsburgh got gutted on Saturday night by the Bruins. You probably know that by now. They're a point back with 86, which means they need a lot of help. They need help from all three of the teams ahead of them, but it can still happen. The reason that if you have looked at the playoff predictors, you can say that you can see that Detroit has a 67% chance right now of making the playoffs is because the Red Wings, with two games left, have a home and home with Montreal. Now, the Canadiens are not the worst team in the league, but they're sure as hell not the best. I guess if you want to look at it optimistically, you can say of all of the teams not making the playoffs, Montreal is not that bad, although they are, they're still 10 points better than Columbus. I don't know that there is quite a heart of a matchup as, say, Buffalo, New Jersey, or Ottawa would be, but at least you're not, they're not playing the San Jose Sharks either. So you've got that. And the Canadiens have been feisty here the last couple of weeks. They have, they've given some teams a lot of trouble. Washington, on the other hand, has to play Boston at home on Monday night for their regular season home finale, and then they go on the road to Philly on Wednesday, or on Tuesday, rather, and may very well be sitting on their couches on Wednesday night, helpless, watching Pittsburgh play to see whether they make it into the playoffs or not. I am hoping it doesn't come to that. Again, they figure out a way to beat Boston. They're in a really, really good spot. As a matter, and as The way I read everything, here's the way it could possibly play out. Let's say the Caps are able to beat the Bruins on Monday night. If Detroit loses, if Detroit and Pittsburgh both lose their games, their 81st games of the year, let's just go with that. It's too complicated any other way. Let's say Detroit and Pittsburgh both lose their next games. So that gives the Caps 89 points with one game left. The Penguins would be able to do no better than 88 points. Again, Detroit loses the tiebreaker at this point. I'm assuming that doesn't change against Washington, as does Philly. So again, if you if you're looking for a good parlay on Monday night, make it a Caps win and Pittsburgh and Detroit loss, and there you have it. Then the Caps are in the playoffs. But that's going to be a tall order. Right now, if you know, the chalk says it'll be the Wings because they take care of business, but we'll just have to see. You know, it's all going to happen on the ice. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Let's take you into the locker room real quick. Hit the music. Give the Caps credit. Backs to the wall, and they found a way to get it done against Tampa. Of course, the fire was really lit after Nick Jensen went down on that really hard hit that knocked him out. Nick Dowd dropping the gloves, his good friend, and then to, you know, make it an even bigger point and put an exclamation on it, Dowder scoring a little bit later in the game. And Spencer Carberry talked about that and how it really, you know, it showed the character of this team that they were able to deal with that and come back. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Bailey Johnson from the Washington Post joins us. We break down what happened and what may happen in the days ahead. It's the Bob Matthews Podcast right here on the Hockey Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back. Let's bring it on in. It's Capitals insider Bailey Johnson from the Washington Post. You want to learn about hockey, you read Bailey because she is one of the best to be doing it right now. Bailey, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I can't think of anybody better as we head towards the last two games now of the regular season. And man, I tell you, what a couple of weeks it's been. 2 weeks ago, I think we all thought the Caps were pretty much a lock for the playoffs. And now, as we sit here today, they've got a one-point lead on a bunch of teams, including Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Philly. But you look at the analytics, and it says that it's going to be Detroit that's got the easiest path. What do you think about where we stand?
I kind of think they've just sort of run out of steam here down the stretch. I wrote about it just now this afternoon for a story that I have in the Post on Saturday. It's just been really hard. The roller coaster that they've been on for 3 months, basically fighting for their lives every single day, takes a toll at some point. And it's kind of, Spencer Carberry keeps talking about the young players they have, and this is sort of being a young team. And it's a little bit hard to wrap your head around at first because you are so used to thinking about the Caps as one of these older teams in the league. But when you look at their lineup right now, they are a young team. I mean, three of their four centers Thursday night in Buffalo are Dylan Strome, Connor McMichael, and Hendrix LaPierre. Strome's the sort of elder statesman of that group, but he doesn't have a ton of experience in situations like this in the NHL. He's mostly played on not good teams that were well out of the playoff race at this point. And obviously for McMichael and LaPierre, it's their first time going through it. And you kind of start to realize that this team has turned over a lot this year. And to be fighting for their lives every single night down the stretch kind of adds up and takes a toll. It doesn't help that their finishing has dried up a little bit and the goaltending hasn't been quite as outstanding as it was in the month of March, but it's hard to ask a guy like Charlie Lindgren to play at a Vezina caliber, best goalie in the league level for 6 weeks on end as you try to scrap and claw your way. And like at some point he needed some help, which he hasn't quite gotten. And I also think just top to bottom, they're running on fumes right now.
And, yeah. All of us amateurs out here, we can see that the scoring has dropped just because you look at the final score of the games. But for somebody that knows hockey the way you do, and quite frankly, I think sees it differently than all of us others out here, is there anything that's not happening now that you can specifically describe that was happening, say, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
That, the unfortunate part is that it's a lot of luck right now, and it kind of dates back to the early days of the season when the puck wasn't bouncing their way and nothing was quite clicking and they weren't getting things across the line. And it's kind of come back to that, and there's a little bit that that is in their control as far as, you know, getting more shot attempts, finding shot lanes, getting things through to the net and not having everything be blocked or end up in shin pads or skates or whatever. But I'm not seeing as much of the lack of crispness and ability to connect as I was early on in the year. Right now, it honestly really feels like luck. I mean, there were so many plays, even Thursday night in Buffalo, where Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen starts to spill the puck and magically is able to cover it before somebody can get to the rebound. And a month ago, that probably is he drops it on the save and somebody puts it in because it was just bouncing their way a little bit better. And that's a really tough thing to work your way out of because they're just, like, in a lot of senses, I don't think they were that bad Thursday in Buffalo. Really, they played a very good first period. Second was ugly and the third wasn't fantastic, but on the balance of the game and certainly on the balance of the scoring chances, they probably played well enough to win that game. But Buffalo created a couple individual skill plays on their goals, Jack Quinn and Alex Tuch especially, and the Caps just couldn't convert on theirs. And sometimes that's a little bit of players getting nervous and gripping their sticks a little bit and feeling like on every single scoring chance they have to, Spencer always says, save the world and not just stick to the process, get the puck on net and try to make something happen. So there is some degree to which it's in their control, but also it is just a little bit of the puck has stopped bouncing in their favor. And even you can see that defensively as well. I mean, the goal that goes in on Charlie Lindgren at the end of the Detroit game doesn't change the outcome. But a month ago, that play doesn't happen because they're just getting that little bit of extra luck they need in that last second to make sure they preserve the shutout.
No doubt. All right, so as we look ahead, and again, Saturday night, let's assume that Detroit is able to beat Toronto. That had set them up pretty well. But wouldn't it be the most Washington thing ever if somehow, some way, the Pens figure out a way to win their last two games and steal this wild card spot from the Caps?
It is the most Washington thing ever, but it also just says so much about the kind of player that Sidney Crosby is and the way he draws his teammates into the fight. And, I mean, no one's going to say that Alex Ovechkin is not a phenomenal hockey player, but when you look at a player with the rounded skill set that Sid has, like, there are so few players in hockey that can do it on their own because it's such a linked sport as far as what you need from your teammates. Sid can do it on his own, and it's unbelievable to watch. And I know Caps fans don't love to hear that because he's been their killer for a lot of years now and has gone to battle with them a lot of times to come out on the positive side of it a lot of times. But he really is an unbelievable player, and it's been really cool to watch what he's done to kind of single-handedly will that team back in the fight. I mean, I was there in Pittsburgh the day they traded Jake Gensel the night before the deadline and saw how they were just shell-shocked. I mean, the Caps won that game 6-0. The Penguins had nothing to offer. Sid wasn't good. Malkin wasn't good. Like, nobody had any life. And then over the last couple of weeks, Sid has decided, you know what? I'm making the playoffs. I don't care what y'all do. I'm making the playoffs. And he's kind of done it on his own. It is very Capitals. But at the same time, I mean, with the unbelievable run that Pittsburgh's gone on, the Caps are still only 1 point behind them, despite having only won once in their last 8 games. So, I mean, it doesn't feel quite as sure as it did a couple weeks ago, but mathematically they're still in it, and Pittsburgh's got a tough last couple games as well, so it's not impossible at this point.
All right, so let's look ahead really past this postseason, because before we came on the air, you and I were talking, and you said, boy, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I don't know. Could be a couple of lean years ahead. Is this team just, you know, kind of on this precipice right now where this is really the last realistic postseason chance for Ovi and Carly and TJ and those guys until the full-fledged youth movement starts?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think they overachieved this year, and I think anybody would tell you that. They've gotten unbelievable goaltending from Charlie Lindgren all year. The fact that they are on the edge of a playoff spot at minus 42 is kind of unbelievable. And I do think their goal differential gets a little bit overblown. But part of the reason it is so ghastly, quite frankly, is that they just don't have the speed and the skill to keep up with fast teams. So if they get into a game where they are down and have to chase it and they're playing a fast team and have to open it up, they get exposed really quickly, and that's not an overnight fix. Like, Ryan Leonard, if he's here in a couple weeks or if he's still a year away, who's to say? I know he is, when I talked to him in February, was relatively sure that he thought he was going to go back for another year, and a lot of things can change if he plays for a national championship Saturday night. Maybe that sways it. I don't know. But when you look at what they have in Hershey right now, I mean, Hendrix Lapierre will be here full-time next year, but there's not a whole lot of other guys that you look at and think, like, okay, that is going to immediately slot into the lineup and help this team get younger and faster. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a process as they continue to retool. I mean, the veterans aren't getting any younger. Like, every one of them that's over 30 right now is playing the best year that they will have left, just based on the way aging works. And as guys start to drop off, like, this is the best TJ Oshie they're ever going to have again. This is probably the best Ovi they're ever going to have again. It's probably the best John Carlson too, because those guys, like, it just doesn't last forever, and the aging curve comes for everybody at some point. So as they start to kind of retool into a new era, when you look at what they have coming, you don't see pieces that immediately fill holes and can kind of leap over the difficult part. Like, I think it is going to be probably a difficult couple years. I don't think it's forever. Like, they've got good pieces in the pipeline. Ryan Leonard's going to be an unbelievable player. Maroš Tkachenko isn't quite ready to be a full-time NHLer right now, but he's going to be really good as well. I really liked what Vinny Iorio has shown in a limited role that I don't think he quite expected to find himself in down the stretch here with Rasmus Sandin out. So they have pieces, and I am optimistic about the long-term future of this team, but nobody can avoid a rebuild or a retool or whatever you want to call it forever, and I think there's probably a couple dark years coming first.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way hockey is. There's only a couple of guys out there, if you look at the free agents this offseason, that you can say player in the prime of their career that has speed and has a shot and has this and that and everything else, that you sign him and all of a sudden your fortunes dramatically improve, right?
Right. It needs to be kind of a more up and down through the lineup thing. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. The Caps are going to have a lot of money to play with this offseason, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them take a couple swings. Mac has been talking for a while about wanting to get a forward between 25 and 30 that can kind of accelerate that timeline and maybe be a top-line center on the contending team above Dylan Strome, who I think is a great player but probably tops out as a second-line center on a true contender. So that's still a hole they're going to have to fill at some point. But this team isn't that one player away from being able to keep pace. It's a more overall lineup thing that's going to take a couple years to sort out.
All right. Okay, so here we are. Last two. I always hate to put reporters on the spot because you are there to report the facts and not pontificate, but two games to go. They're a point up now. What do you think? Do they make the playoffs, or are they getting ready for golf here in about 5 days?
I'm crossing my fingers, because while I am a reporter and not a pundit, there's an element of this to where my job is more fun if this team makes the playoffs, and I would certainly really like to cover the playoffs. So I'm hoping they pull it off, too.
I hear you. I'm rooting for you and for them as well. Okay, Bailey Johnson of the Washington Post, thanks so much for joining us. Before we get out of here, let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Yep, I'm on Twitter at BaileyAJohnson_, and you can find all my stories at thewashingtonpost.com.
She is the best. Bailey Johnson, thank you so much. We will catch up with you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us, making the clock on the wall, so we got to get out of here. All right, two to go. Boston Monday night, and then Philly on Wednesday. And then it might be a case of crossing your fingers and seeing what happens. We will recap it all when it's done. Till then, have a good one. And remember, like the wise man once said, if you're out on your bike tonight, as always, do wear white.